We ended off last time discussing the 2 days in the Trumas Hadeshen, as reflected in the Ramah, the beginning of Sivan Kuf Sadivav, what to do if a tzibur is already Mekabel Shabbos, or a tzibur ready Davin Marv, and a woman hasn't yet done a Hesek Tara, is a Hesek Tara valid after their Kabbalah Shabbos, after their Davening Marv? And I just misspoke slightly about the bottom line of one Nakuda. There's a machlokas between the Shach and the Trumas Hadeshen. Sorry, the Shach and the Dalekul Mervava, what's the din where a woman herself was Mekabel Shabbos or Davin Mariv? Can she still do a Hesek Tara then, according to the Makilim and the Trumas Hadeshen, in the Tzia where everyone else already was Mekabel Shabbos or Davin Mariv? So, Lahalacha Poskim assume that if push comes to shove, a woman could do a Hesek Tara even if she's already been Mekabel Shabbos herself. So, for example, Rav Avner has in the Shirei Shevet Alevi, Oth Tezayin, that in a situation where it's already Lich Benchin time, and there isn't enough time for the woman to do a Hesek Tara before benching Licht, she can then bench Licht and do the Hesek Tara afterwards, and he thinks that's preferable to being Mekabel Shabbos Al Tanai, or doing Halakas Neiros Al Tanai, even though there are situations where under extenuating circumstances will allow a woman to make a Tanai that she's not being Mekabel Shabbos through her lighting candles. Rav Avner says that's not a L'chachila situation itself. So if you have a choice between benching Lich, being Mekabel Shabbos, and doing a Hesek Tara afterwards, or doing the Halakas Neiros Al Tanai, then better to be Mekabel on the Hesek Tara than to do the Kabbalah Shabbos Al Tanai. So in that situation, he thinks, where you have no choice, you can definitely bench Lich and then do a Hesek Tara afterwards, as long as it's still before Shkia. And Rabbi Morgenstern quotes something even more interesting with Shem Rav Yashiv in the Pisrei Das, Perek Yudalit, footnote 23, Perek Yudalit, footnote Kaf Gimel, say quotes of Shem Rav Yashiv, in Yerushalayim, where the minhag is that their Mekabel Shabbos 40 minutes before Shkia, Yerushalayim and the cities that pattern themselves after Yerushalayim, like Petach Tikva, I think Beit Shemesh. So those places where their Mekabel Shabbos is 40 minutes before Shkia, so if L'chachila you try to be makbid to do a Hefzik Taro Samach Ben Hashmashos within 30 minutes of Shkia, then how do you navigate that situation? So he quotes from Avil Yashiv that there L'chachila you should bench lift that 40 minutes and do the Hefzik Taro afterwards within a half hour of Shkia. So even in that situation where you could have argued based on the Aruch HaShulchan and others, that Samach Ben Hashmashos is a little bit fungible, a little amorphous, it's not a half hour Halacha Moshe Sinai. So I would have argued in that case, so do it 45 minutes before Shkia, so that you can do it before you bench lift. But the question of Rav Yashiv, that better to keep to the firm half hour, even if it means doing it after you bench lift. Okay, but either way, that is the consensus of Poskim, like the Dagal Mervava, that if push comes to shove, if you're in a situation where you need to do a Hefzik Tara after Lichbench and after Kabbalah Shabbos, as long as it's still not Shkia, you could do so, and that counts for the previous day. Okay. Now, one other Ha'ara on that topic in the Shach that we quoted part of last time, Sivkatan Dalit. The latter part of the Shach quotes a line from the Ugur. So he writes towards the end of Sivkat and Dalet, Mikomakom, Mivuar Meha Ugur, Shevesi, Da'afla Hamakilim, Hainu Ad Kafdalet Shos. That even if you're Mako, that you can continue to do a Hefzik Tara after Davni Mariv, that's only up to 24 hours. V'imkein kishayom gadol, in a long summer day, kolkach chashvin an yom v'lay l'shavim, then we view day and night as equal. What does that? What does the Ugur mean? What does the Shach mean? Take a look at the Dagal Mervava. The Dagal Mervava understood that the kavana of the Ugur, as quoted by the Shach, is that we calculate based on a 12-hour day. What does that mean? Take a look at the Dagal Mervava. Avabasar hachilu kul yalma asar. Devarav temuim. Vare afilu leinyan iser skila osasha adayin dino kiyom mamish. That let's say the sun sets at 8 o'clock. So the Dagal Mirvava understood that the kavana sashach b'shema agur is that in a summer day when the sun sets at 8, you have to do your hafsek tara by 6. Because 6 is when the sun sets on your average day, on your on the mid-sized day, your 12-hour day. So then you have to do the hafsek tara before 6. So says the Dagal Mirvava, how could that be? That even when it comes to an iser skila like Shabbos, we're never machmir that you can't do malach on Friday in the summer after 6 p.m., the Kaiser Shabbos Asim Lachachim Malach at Samach Leben Hashmashas. The Larmin and Dachashvina Yom Velayla Shabbos. We never say that we superimpose a 12-hour day, a 6-to-6 day, on the calendar in the summer. The Ode, Dreya Agar Hevi Raya, Mimatza the Omer. And the Agar says, oh, same thing, when can you be Mekayim mitzvos, like Matzah? Adu Vishnasa Iber, Shayom Shal Arapatha Gadol. So does he mean to say that if the sun sets 7:30 on Erev Pesach, you can be Mekayim Mitzvos Achilas Matzah at 6:30? Because on a 12-hour day, the sun sets at 6? V'chein Birkas HaOmer, Shayom Gadol Ma'od, Afil HaChiyam, Evarken HaLaila Mamish. So he understood in the Shach, B'Shem HaOgur, that the day always starts and ends at 6. So a Hefzik Tara has to be done before 6, even if the sun only sets at 8. And the Dagmar Vavar says, that can't be impossible. There's no room for such a chumrah. So the Dagmar Vavar understood, that's what the Agur meant, but that's ridiculous, so we don't assume that way. Or at least, that's how we understood the Shach's read of the Agur. And we don't assume the way. The Ola Divrei Shach B'Sof Zayin Nikiyim B'Yom Hashvi K'Shayom Katzar. So again, if based on his understanding of the Shach, that it's always a 6 o'clock hard stop. So then, let's say in the winter when the sun sets at 4:30, Tiasura Litbal Al Kamishas B'Layla. You're going to tell me that the flip side, the sun sets at 4:30. But we all always go with 6 o'clock, so you can't go to the mikveh until after 6. V'neim ish'os v'n'shos sh'echem l'hayom, asma, how could that be? V'luchein yor l'niyas da'iti. No, it can't be, that's what the Yogur meant, it can't be, that's what the Shach meant. Sh'af ha'shach lo hichmir elokish v'spal lahi v'akal arvis, gamkein, v'kiblu Shabbos. He says the Shach is only machmir for the 6-hour hard stop, where everyone is already Mekabel Shabbos, everyone is already Davin Marv. The Gambazani Ulinis Daiti Lahakal B'Dievet. And the Dagmar Vavar says you don't have to be choshish for that either. The Kavdal and Shos, Shehiskar Agur, Hainu Shos Manios, the Kavanos Vatsofayom. When the Agur says 24 hours, he doesn't mean a 12-hour day, Yom Velayla Shavim. He just means it's a code word for Shos Manios. That when you cheshbin Zmani Hayom, Yuchesh been based on Shos Manios.
What does that mean?
What does it mean, Yuchesh been based on Shos Manios?
Yeah.
That when you're calculating, let's say, Mincha Ketana, or you're calculating whatever amount of time prior to Shkia, then you calculate that based on Shos Manios. But you say, what else would you have thought?
I was going to say, I don't need the Shach to tell me that.
You don't need the Agur to tell you that, right? Yeah, so he's basically that. Yes. But the Dagmar Vavar is saying that's all. It's impossible to believe the Agur meant anything else. So that's the best he can do. That is the Dagla Mirvava. Take a look at the Atze Levona, the bottom of the margin over here. Afilo Asu Kal Shabbos, Kos Hashach, Mashm and Sar Lomar, Ema Yom Gadol Az Acher Vav Shalos Acher Chatzos Havi Laila. That's what the Dagla Mirvava was saying. The Az Kalu Akavdal Shalos Yom Shavar. V'zeh shakasa v'aval basar hachilu kol yama aser, hainu achar v'avshasana. Achachronu chalko alav, ayin b'plesi, ube minchas yitzak the Torah sashlamim, de la'olam ein b'layla v'yom, yosim yikav da'al shos. Uma shalayla katzer hayom aruch, sof him kav da'al shos. And kem shidashu ad sof hayom. So there are always 24 hours between one shkia and the next shkia. So what are you telling me 24 hours? There's no chiddush there. And came shidashu ad sof hayom. Ula olam tzvicha livdak samach leben hashmashas. V'yam kem memela l'amakilim afilo asu hakal shabbos ba'od hayom gadol kigom b'kayitz afilo achar teisha shas achar chasas hayom mikol mokim yuchal lisa b'tara kona ben hashmashas v'shapri yos hayom gam ken kiftal shos amos hashabbos v'zman ahu v'chei v'chol yom im kanal v'in chilak b'zeh ben yom aruch al katsar. So he's saying basically 24 hours in the Agur just means 24 hours and doesn't make it 24 hours since the last shkia. So what emerges is that there could be a difference of a minute or two, meaning let's say our shkia differs 1 minute every day. So if you take the 24 hours literally, then you'd count 24 hours exactly from the last shkia, which would be a minute earlier, a minute later than today's actual shkia is. So maybe that's a difference, that you're potentially a minute, or maybe in some places 2 minutes off, but nothing more significant than that. But if you look in the Agur himself, so that sheds more light on what the Agur actually meant. The Lashon HaAgur in Siman Aleph Shinai and Zayin, I mean 1,377, Aleph Shinai and Zayin. The Agur has the following Lashon. Afilu be'er Shabbos, achrei tfilas arvis v'kabal Shabbos. So women can be masik b'tara even on Erev Shabbos after the Daven Ma'ariv, after Kabbalah Shabbos. Ki hi tosefes lo shaykh l'inyanida. That tosefes Shabbos, that's the local Shabbos halacha. That's not a kol Torah kula halacha, as we've been discussing. So therefore, that doesn't preclude her from doing Hafsik Torah, even if it's already Peshkia. V'tzarech kaf dalid shos. And you need 24 hours. So in context, that tzarech kaf dalid shos sounds like we're not, the fact that you made Shabbos early, that's relevant for Tosefes Shabbos and Hilchos Shabbos, is not relevant to Kol HaTorah Kula. In the Kol HaTorah Kula calculation of a Yom is 24 hours since the end of the last day. A day is 24 hours from Shkia to Shkia, from Nates to Nates. So all he means is that don't be bothered by the Tosefes Shabbos and think that that precludes a Hafsek Torah, because the Kol HaTorah Kula, aside from Tosefes Shabbos, which is a local consideration, a day is 24 hours. So 24 hours since the end of the last day is the end of this day. And that's Hashkia. But the Kavanah of 24 hours wasn't 12 hours, Mane, Yom V'Layla Shafim. That's not what the Agur meant.
So he also meant Shalosh.
I'm sorry?
He also meant the Shalosh Manios.
He also, but the point isn't even Shalosh Manios. The point is just Lafuke, that an early Kabbalah Shabbos should end the day.
So by saying 24 hours, he just means like a
regular
whole day.
Of all day, exactly, right. So that there's less stock to be put into that line of Kavdala Shos. Okay. The Ramah writes in Sif Gimel, Umina Kasher Hu, Kishaisha Pasekis Batara, Shetirchatz Vilaveshis Levanim, that it's a min of kosher for a woman who's doing a Hafsek Torah to wash herself, to wear white. Amnam im lo rachsa rak paneh shalmata dai bekach. And if all she washed is osamakom, then that is sufficient. V'chei noagin, v'ein l'shanos. Even if she doesn't have levanim, it's not makev. As long as what she's wearing is clean and there's no dam residue on it. So the Ramah lumps together minhag of levana and the minhag of rechitza, but let's focus on each one separately for the moment. So the Ramah says minhag shetirchatz. Where does this come from? So the lashon of the rokeach in Simin Shin Yud Ches is rochetz es panei shalmata. She has to wash osamakom. So in that formulation of the rokeach, there's no two tiers. It's what a woman should do is wash osamakom. Not any more than that. All that's necessary is washing osamakom. Rabbi Morgenstern points out that the lashon haMordechai, the way Mordechai quotes the rokeach, but I just read you the rokeach in the rokeach. The Mordechai is a slightly different citation of the rokeach. The Mordechai is in Siman Tav Shin Lamed Zayin. The Mordechai's lashon is quoting the rokeach. Mina kasher hu kisha isha mafsekes bitara lirchos elil bosh levanim. So it's a mina kasher to wash yourself. Omnam im eina rochetzes ela panei shalmata daya bekach. But if all she washed was osamakom, then that's sufficient. Right, so that sounds like there's a minhag to wash even more than that, but as long as you wash osamakom, that's sufficient. And that's what the Ramah is saying here. Minhag kasher hu shetirchatz. So it sounds like the lichachila minag is to wash more than that, and push comes to shove, if all she washed was penashal mata, that is sufficient.
I'm sorry, who's that?
That's what the Ramah says, and that's based on the Mordechai B'Shem Rokeach.
Right,
we're just pointing out is that the Rokeach in the Rokeach doesn't sound like that. The Rokeach just says, Rokeach is p'nei shalmata. The way the Mordechai quotes the Rokeach is two tiers. You should wash, and if all you wash is osamakom, that's enough. So it sounds like you should wash more than osamakom. What's that more than osamakom? So presumably, the more that more than osamakom isn't necessarily the whole body. Because what shaykhus should wash in the whole body have to facilitating your hafzei tara? It's why you do the wash, we'll get to in a minute. Rabbi Morgenstern quotes from Avil Yashiv, Perek Yud Beis, footnote Ches, that Avil Yashiv said there's no need for a woman to wash her entire body in advance of hafzei tara. There's no need to take a bath. Although, the Nod Bihuda, Kama Simen Mem Gimel, Thomas M. Gimel says that it's a good idea to take a bath because that facilitates washing the area properly.
Doesn't she need to be worried about ksamim on her legs? Well,
I'm sorry?
Ksamim on the lower part of her body, doesn't she need to be concerned about those?
Maybe. So then you would wash an area that could be affected by a kesem. But the areas where there's no concern of a kesem getting onto your body is per the sugya's beginning of a kesem, then not. Meaning there wouldn't necessarily be requirement of kol gufa per se. It's wherever there could be some residual dam.
What does the Mordechai say exactly?
The Mordechai b'shem rokeach is mina kasher hu lirchotz v'lilbosh levanim amnam im eina rochetzes ela panei shalmata daibekach. So he doesn't tell you what the lechachila minig is, how much to wash. It's more than osamakom. So minimally, it's the area around there, the area on the top of the legs where there could be residual dam. And there is a lush in the Nod Yehuda that it's better. Again, the Nod Yehuda didn't have a mitzias of a shower. So it was a bath or just spot washing. So it could be, there's no, a shower would be more than sufficient even for the Nod Yehuda that allows you to wash what you need to wash properly. Mm-hmm. or some might say that there may still be value to bet. What is the purpose of this rechitza? To take a look at the Taras HaShlamim here in Sifkat and Vav. Shetirchatz v'levashet levanim. Hatam b'kol zeh de'ulay nislach lech gufa o chaluka beis hakesem. So maybe there's a kesem that's either on her clothing or on her body. V'timsa b'soch hashiv nekia. So you have a kesem that presented itself while before she did the Hefsek Tara, before she started counting Shiva Nakiyam. And she's only going to find it talk Shiva Nakiyam. So there's a hidden kesem somewhere, and she'll find it during Shiva Nakiyam. Da'az ain't tolin. So if you find the kesem during Shiva Nakiyam, you can't be tola that kesem on a regular tliya. Kin mevor besamach sifyot. So what's the concern? So if you're gonna wash yourself, so then you're cleaning yourself off of any potential kesem. So it's not going to harm your account of Shiva Nakiyam. If you don't wash yourself, there might be residual kesem that you're not aware of. You'll find it on day two, and then you're gonna have to restart the clock because that's not gonna be Nakiyam. But if you did a rechitza beforehand, you got rid of any potential kesem, so you're saving yourself the possibility of unnecessarily being so serious Shiva Nakiyam. Okay, that's the Taras HaShlamim. He says, Lefizeh, im bidi evred safra Shiva Nakiyam below rechitza levisha klal. But let's say she didn't wash herself. She didn't wear levanim. And she'll check, and there won't be any kasem to be sosir shiva nekiyam. Mutar's lipo. So then, that's not going to stop her from her tara process. Meaning, the rechitza is to her benefit. It's litovasa. So it's to help her out. But if she didn't do it, and there's no harm, then it's not going to set her back. Ach lechachila ein l'shaino saminag. But l'chachila, this is a minhag Yisrael, and you shouldn't abrogate minhagim for no reason. Okay, so Taras HaShlamim says that the minhag is litovasa, and therefore, since it's litovasa, something that's litovasa can't be ma'akev.
Is there any reason on the fourth day and on to check her
Tara
to wear clean clothes? Isn't it only for her own good to wear dirty clothes?
Isn't what?
To her own benefit to wear dirty clothes. You think she'd be telling you kesem?
No, so we'll see. So the minhag of Levanim precludes that because we'll talk about the minhag of Levanim in a few minutes. We'll get there. Okay. That is the Taras HaShlamim. Take a look now at the Sidrei Tara in Sifkat and Yudbeis. Rabbi Force thinks that the Sidrei Tara is a opposing reason to the Taras HaShlamim. But we'll see, that's not necessarily the case. Sidrei Tara in Sifkat and Yudbeis, Shetirchas v'leveshes levanim. Hatam b'chol zeh, he quotes the Taras HaShlamim. And then he says, Usvas Yaserhu. That's where the Taras HaShlamim writes is unnecessary. It's an added point that isn't necessary. The Kol Shekein, Im Haya Hadin, Ditolabo. Because the Taras HaShlamim is saying that because if you see a Kesem during Shiva Nakiyam, you can't be told on that Kesem. So a kesem is going to set her back, will be to her detriment, and therefore the rechitza is helpful. So says the Sidrei Tara, the kol shekein emay yadin de tolabo. So let's say the din was you could be tol on a kesem, and if you found the kesem on day two, you could be tol of that, and it's not going to set you back in your account. The kol shekein emay yadin de tolabo, tzricha lechachila shetirchas v'tilbo shlevanim. You still have to wash yourself and wear levanim. Deshema tira achrakach v'tilbo. The opposite. What would the concern be? That if you're not going to wash yourself, So if you wash yourself, you know that anything you see from now on is fresh. But let's say you didn't wash yourself, and then you have an old kesem, and you're going to be tola on day two on the old kesem, but really that's the new kesem. And if it's a new kesem, you have no right to be tola. Right? So Rabbi Four says, oh, you see from the Sidrei Tara and from the Atzel Levon on the side that says something similar, that it's not only to her benefit, it's even sometimes it's to her detriment. Meaning you have to know what the score is, so you have to wash yourself, because if you didn't wash yourself, you could have a situation where you're going to unjustly be tola kesem on predating the Shiva Nekiyim, when in reality the kesem is new, and that's also your Shiva Nekiyim. Yeah.
Isn't that more chamor than we usually are by kesamim? Don't usually we sort of look for the taliyah and assume vahakol?
But not during Shiva Nekiyim. As we'll see.
That's the difference.
During Shiva Nekiyim, that's definitely during the first 3 days, and sometimes maybe during all of Shiva Nekiyim, then they have a different orientation about taliyahs. Right.
Okay.
So Rabbi Four says, oh, you see from here, different direction, that Rechitza isn't only litovasa, sometimes it could be to your detriment, you just have to know what the score is. I'm not sure if that's Behechreyach, because the Sidrei Tara is making a theoretical argument. He's saying, even if it was the case, the Tola, there would still be reason to require Rechitza. Not necessarily that is the case. Because maybe Aliba de MS, you don't have that kind of a Taliyah. He's making a theoretical point, not necessarily Lemaisa. Either way, it's a little practical difference, because the Torah Sashlamim says, as we saw, that even if it's to her benefit, she still a chachila has to do it, because that's a minug. Rabbi Moore considered Kosovo of Yashiv, Perek Yud Beis, Ara Gimel, that you can't change a minug like this. Even if the minug is the Tovasa, like the Torah of Shalom. So the way he presents it, he doesn't say it's not the Tovasa like Rabbi Forrest. He says, no. Even if it is the Tovasa, it is the Tovasa, but still the minug is a minug, and you can't play around with Minhagen.
What's the basis of the Minhagen such a Tara then?
According to Rabbi Forth's reading of the Sidrei Tara?
Yeah.
So according to his reading of the Sidrei Tara, the basis of the Minhag is to know what the score is in either direction. Because sometimes you could have a kesem that you're allowed to be, that you could be tola on and you won't be tola. Sometimes you could have one that you can't be tola on and you will be tola. Because you have to know what the score is. And that could be bein l'kula, bein l'chumra. Sometimes it could be to her benefit. Sometimes it could be to her detriment. You just have to know what the facts are. Yeah.
This might be jumping the gun. Are we going to talk about when she bathes?
Yes, right now, in fact.
Amazing.
Okay. So when should this rechitza be done? So Rabbi Morgenstern quotes from Avil Yashiv that you don't find this in earlier sources, but he quotes from Avil Yashiv, the minhag is to do it within a half hour of the hefsek. So if you do the hefsek within a half hour of shkia, then you should bathe within a half hour of the half hour of shkia. So within a half hour of when you're going to do the hefsek. That's who quotes from Avil Yashiv. But if that's difficult, then you could do it earlier. Rabbi Force writes that he thinks as long as you do it once the flow has stopped, it doesn't really make a difference when. The point is that once the flow stops, once you're not seeing any more dam, then you have to do a rechitza to make sure that any residual dam is gotten rid of, whether it's litovasa, whether it's to detriment also, whatever it is. But the point is to get rid of whatever dam may be there. So once the flow stops, what difference does it make if you do it a half hour before or 5 hours before? The flow stops, so then you're having the same effect. So that's, I mean, I think Rabbi Willig is more partial to that approach, that you know, you could do it as long as the flow has stopped, you could do it then. In the other direction, and your post can assume that as even though the Lashon of Rama was Amnam lo rav sarak panei shamata dai bekach, but that's still as a minhag. Not there's no ikar adin here, it's all a minhag. So the post can assume that if for whatever reason a woman didn't wash herself, the hefsek is still a valid hefsek, and you still can't shim the kiyum the next day, because it's only a minhag lechachila, not a minhag that you should take lightly. But if for whatever reason you weren't able to, you didn't wash yourself, so that's not ma'akev the, that's not ma'akev the hefsek. In the other direction, how close to the hefsek can you, can you do the rechitza? So the Chazon Ish has a chiddush in a Siman Pei Aleph. He writes as follows: Nira, the af im tircha via naki lefisha. So a woman's going to do rechitza and she's going to be clean at that moment. Excuse me. Umiyah tivdok b'mochdachuk b'chorin ustakin v'timsa esamoch naki. So she'll do a hefsek tarot, she'll do a moch dachuk, and everything will be clean. Ein ze hefsek tara, de ein hefsek tara el b'motza atma tahora b'tchilas habedika. Hefsek tara means that b'tchilas habedika, she's clean. Aval b'motza atma tmeya, so let's say she has dam. The avira birachitza, and then she's going to wash out the area, and then she's going to do bedika right away. Eina bedika midi, the bedika doesn't do anything. Dol olam eina isha shafas ela poseka sefisha v'choseres mitaftefes. So a few minutes ago she was seeing that. Now you're going to wash out the area, and then you're going to do a hefsek tara. But what is that hefsek tara? You just wash out the area. So any blood there, you washed out. So if you let things happen naturally, maybe in 10 minutes you'll still have more blood. So if you're going to do a hefsek tara right after you washed it out, that hefsek tara is ineffective. Ve'ena bedika al aid al amayin shenistam, a bedika is the only effective indication that the flow stopped, ela bishasa zman meruba, unless there's a significant wait, velo hirgisha velo rasa, it stopped, there's no hargasha, there's no riyah, and then she does the proper bidika. So the Chazon Ish is saying that if you're going to wash yourself and then do a bidika, hefsek tara right away, then that's not a, you're stacking the deck, that's not fair, because that doesn't show you anything, because maybe you just rinsed out all the blood, and that's why it's going to be clean. But if you wait some time and do another bedika, maybe that'll be dirty. So that's the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish doesn't give a shiur. He tells you it can't be right away. It has to be some wait. He doesn't tell you what that wait is. And Rabbi Morgenstern quotes a different concern of Shem Rav Yashiv, Perek Yud Beis, Os Tes, that not only is a concern that maybe you just will wash away the blood and stack the deck in getting a clean hefsek, but maybe there's actually dam that's still coming out, and that just got absorbed in the water because there's still residual water from the rinsing.
Is there any reason she can't do rechitza after the hefsek?
Is there any reason she can't do rechitza after the hefsek?
Yeah.
Where's the
mochtachuk? I was assuming we're on mochtachuk. Or fine, then right after the Mechtachok.
After the Mechtachok, you do whatever you want, because then it's, you're ready into Banish Mashas or at Seis.
What's that?
I'm saying the standard situation, you do your Hefsek Tara a little bit before Shkia, then you insert a Mechtachok, and you keep the Mechtachok, we'll talk about the Mechtachok soon, and you keep the Mechtachok there, let's say, till Seis, right?
And then do Rechitz after Seis.
Great, so you do whatever you want after Seis, but you're ready home free. You're ready in
why
the Shivanakim now.
Why can't she do a pizza before? Why can't she just do a pizza?
I'm sorry? That's not going to happen. The minhag is to do rechitza before the hefsek tara to show that the hefsek tara is accurate. Because if you're going to...
The
rechitza
is to show that it's accurate?
The rechitza is to show that... Let's say the Torah says, so we're worried that you may have some residual kesem. So before you do hefsek tara, to start the tara process, and make sure there are no residual kesemim. Otherwise, it's going to confuse you later on. Right, so that's done before the hefsek. That's the chazanish. That there has to be some gap. He doesn't tell you what the gap is, but some break between the hefsek tara and between the rechitza and the hefsek tara. Five Kohn in the Badr Shulchan in the beginning of Kuf Sariva Beurim Dibur Maskel Shetifsok. So he's masik on the Chazanish, so that's a big chish. You would expect to find that somewhere before the Chazanish. So you don't find such a chumrah in the Kamonim or the earlier Achronim, and you would have expected someone to say that if there's a requirement to wait between the Rechitza and the Hefsek Tara. And Rav Avadya writes, Pedrei Samach Beis, he thinks even the Chazanish may be limited to a situation where Lemaisa, she's still bleeding or she's prone to bleeding at that time. In the Chazanish's context, he contrasts that presentation with the situation of Makkah, where you can be tall in Makkah, and you're trying to figure out if there's a way of doing a proper hefsek where she's suffering from bleeding from a Dam Makkah. So in that context, the Chazanish says, we're worried that maybe there's still going to be Dam, and you're just... masking it up by doing the rechitza right before the hefsek. The Rav Avadya says even the Chazanish, in context, may only be talking about a case where she's still bleeding, or you have other blood that's not tameh blood that you're trying to manage to facilitate a proper hefsek tara. So in that context, or where she's still bleeding, or she's prone to bleeding even now, that's what the Chazanish has as concern. But in a regular case where a woman stopped bleeding that morning, and she's doing a hefsek tara 5 hours later. So then maybe even according to the Chazanish, you don't have to be concerned about that gap in time. Ramosha writes, now most assume that the Chazanish meant what he said across the board, but that's what Vavadya's suggested within the Chazanish. Ramosha writes, Chele Bey Simon Ayin Aleph. Excuse me, Yoridea Chele Bey Simon Ayin Aleph. That he recommends waiting for a quarter of an hour between the washing and the hefsek. So again, the Chazanish says you should wait, doesn't say how long. Ramosha says 15 minutes. That's what they quote B'Shem Rav Yashiv, also 15 minutes. And Rabbi Karp quotes, I don't remember if it's Anu's honor, B'Shem Rav Yashiv, 10 minutes. So that's the range that the contemporary Sfarim talk about to fulfill the Chazanish of 10 to 15 minutes. Rabbi Willick thinks that 5 minutes or a few minutes is sufficient. And the Bidyeved, if you didn't wait, then the Hefsek would still be valid. Would still be valid anyway. So the range, let's say, across the a spectrum of poskim is somewhere between 5 and 15 minutes to wait between the rinsing and the hefsek tara.
Do we have any indication what, say, Rabbi Morgenstern, or in theory Rav Moshe, or the Chazanish would say about, maybe not Chazanish, but would say if she did do it immediately, if that would be okay with you?
It sounds like for Moshe, it sounds like it would still be okay with you. Moshe's make your recommendation. Chazanish, he seems pretty concerned. It sounds like that would be Li'ikuva. So those who take the Chazanish straight could be Makif.
And the Bar Shulchan Ravadia would say that
Ravadia is nothing to be concerned about at all, right? And the Bar Shulchan also, I mean, he leaves the Chazanish a little bit of Tzarochian, but he's not, he may say, you should be choshish for it, lechachil anyway. But he doesn't understand why that should be the case. Okay. Fine. So let's talk a little bit now about a Melech Dachuk. So we had encountered previously Melech Dachuk in the context of a Re'iyah, or a Hefzik on day one, L'Re'asa, where we saw, according to the Ramban, a Melech Dachuk is Likuva. According to the Rashba, it's a L'Chachila. And the Lashon of the Mechaber, in general, excuse me, in Simon Kuf Sarivav, is La'olam, the Sefalef, sorry, La'olam Yilamid Adam B'soch Beso, the Ramayah is L'Hachmer L'Chachila B'soch Beso, but even the Lashon of La'olam Yilamid sounds like that's a L'Chachila, that's a good practice to teach the woman in the house. Because that Moch Dachuk, that takes care of all problems. And that's based on the Rashba. Which in the Beis Yosef, he quotes this Rashba, and he says, he likes the Rashba, Ma Yakru Divrei HaRashba, who has this lashon of the olam yilamid adam esof beso, and that olam yilamid is lashon of the Rashba himself, and that's what the Gemara returned, as we saw, of eneha of yadav ben eneha kol ben ashmashos. Even though the Gemara is in a rhetorical context, v'chi yadav ben eneha kol ben ashmashos, is that what's going on here? But the Rashba says that as a lechachila, that is an appropriate minhag to have.
Is from the Rashba's lashon, is he saying that, you know, a rav in his congregation doesn't necessarily, like rabbinic authority, doesn't necessarily have the responsibility to go and say, women of the community, you should do this, but rather, maybe if you're talking to your baal batim, that, you know, say like if you think your wife is amenable, you should teach her to do this.
It's hard to know exactly how much stock to put into the precise formulation of Olam Yalamei Adam B'Self Beso. It does sound like it's an Eitz Tova, but definitely not Likuva. Mm-hmm. And Eitz Tova L'Chachila. Mm-hmm. But that's the Rashba's formulation. The way the Beis Yosef quotes it, Beis Yosef writes, so he's not sure why the Torah doesn't mention this. But he thinks that that it should be done. And that's what he quotes here in Shulchan Aruch that we just read. The Aruch HaShulchan is a little bit bothered why this Chumrah took off the way it did. The Aruch HaShulchan in Oz Yud Zayin. He says it's clear from the formulation of the Beis Yosef, from the Rashba, that this is a Chumrah. And the whole din of Samach ben Ashmashos itself is a chumrah. As Mikra did, we said B'dika Shachris works, and maybe even if you want to be machmir, so maybe you should only be machmir from Mincha Ketanan on. But Samach ben Ashmashos itself, as we saw, the Gaon of Katandal, the Beis Yosef B'das HaRash, that's a lechachila chumrah to be choshesh at some level. For she disturbed Yehuda. So Aruch HaShulchan is bothered, you're adding chumrah on top of chumrah. The whole Samach HaBein HaShmashos is Elvis of chumrah. And now, this Olam Yom Yisach Beso, Tavim Moch Dachuk, Eich Hichmer Chumrah al Chumrah, asks the Aruch HaShulchan. Then he writes, Kavanus Rabbeinu Ramahu, Sha'af haba l'ishta lo yomer she'zeh me'ikar adin. So that precise formulation of Olam Yilamed Adam Esof Beso, which is not a standard formulation you have, as if you talk about a minute, if you talk about L'Chachila, but Olam Yilamed Adam Esof Beso is not a typical Lashon. The Aruch HaShulchan says, that's precisely the point. That even haba l'ishta shouldn't pass it off as me'ikar adin, if you're going to give the impression that a Moch Dachuk is Ma'akev, then if a woman doesn't do a milk dachuk, she may not ask a shayla. She'll assume that the hefsek didn't count, and she'll have to do another hefsek tomorrow, and she's delaying her shivin akiyam and her lel tefila by a day. So if you're going to pass something off, if you're going to pass a chumra off as mikra din, then you might end up being machshel the woman. So that's the Aruch HaShulchan skepticism about Moch Dachuk. So he says, it's important that you should stress it's only a chumra l'chachila, and if she can't, then she can't. But because if push comes to shove, it is only a chumra, so some poskim are makel about the need for moch dachuk under certain circumstances. Leis hatzarech. Rabbi Neuberger told me that he heard reliable testimony b'shem of Aaron Soloveitchik that Rabbi Aaron was makel for people even l'chachila not to require moch dachuk without qualification. Rabbi Neuberger told me that he is makel usually for postpartum women without qualification for at least a few months postpartum not to bother with the moch dachuk. Rabbi Willie tends to be even more makel anytime there's any irritation to dispense with a moch dachuk. Rabbi Willie points out that if you look in the Chavis Das, Simon Kuf Sadi Aleph, the end of Sif Katan Ches, Kuf Sadi Aleph, the end of Sif Katan Ches. So the Chavis Das describes moch dachuk as plugging up the entire area where you're inserting the moch. And that is difficult, if not impossible, to actually do in practice. Same cane, if already you're not doing a real moch dachuk, so then that gives you more license to be makel when necessary. Rabbi Karp discusses the following: Chelik Beis Simin Sadi Beis. That if a woman has a find something or sees dam on an Eid Bedika during Shivin Akiyam, so then you restart the clock. Now you start the clock. You can do a Hefsek Tara that day if she's ready clean, and start counting your Shivin Akiyam the next day. Now, does that Hefsek Tara have the din of Re'iyah B'yom Harishon, where you require a Moch Dachuk Me'ikar Adin? Right? Because we explained that if you're doing Hefsek Tara on the day of Yom Rishon L'Riyasa Sit Beis, then you require a Moch Dachuk Me'ikar Adin. So, in that case, where you had a problematic Bedika in the middle of Shivin Akiyam, you have to restart the clock, but how do we view that? How do we view that Hefsek Tara in terms of Yom Rishon L'Riyasa? So Rabbi Karp writes, page Tzadi Beis, that there everyone would agree there's no need for Moch Dachuk Me'ikar Adin. Even the Shach in Sif Katan Vav. Let's actually look at the Shach together. It's short. The Shach in Sifkat and Vav writes, this is on the Ramah, that Bedika Shachris doesn't work where it's Yom Rishon L'Riyasa. Says the Shach, Mayana Pasuach, Kas B'Sefer Badani Melech, Im Tomer Li Didan Mayanav Kamina, we saw this before, Afil Yisha Shirao Kasa Nogin Shesich Lantan Chavisha Yamim, so where do you ever have a Hefsek Tara on day one, v'nirali de nafkamina leecha dechazav rasa v'sachamei sfira. So now that's day one again, and then you can do Hefsek Tara that day. So that's considered like day one liriyasa. So says Rav Karp, that's true if you have a flow. So if you have a flow in the middle of Shivin Akiyam, so then that's a day one riya. So then you need a melch dachuk mikra din. But what's the concern? what's the concern? What are we doing this Hefzik Tara for? And why would you need to Moch Dach and Mikra Adin? What's the concern about Yom Re'iyah? So Yom Rishon the Re'iyah, the concern is Mayanasa Pasuach. That now the body opened up, you have a flow. So on that first day of the flow, so then there's more of a concern. As you saw in the Ramban, that that flow is going to continue, and that's why you need a Moch Dach and Mikra Adin. But so that's true if you actually have a flow, if there's a Re'iyah. But if you just have a stain on your Bedikah cloth, that's not a flow. That's not a full-fledged Re'iyah. That's a stain on the Bedikah cloth that sets you back. So there, no one would argue that that's a Mayanasa Pasuach, that you're going to require Moch Dach and Mikra Adin. No. So even in that case, you would not require Moch Dach and Mikra Adin. Rabbi Karp writes that he heard this v'shem Rav El Yashif.
They would say a single kesem is.
I'm sorry?
They would say a single kesem is.
Is what?
Is a chazaka that might not pursue.
What do you mean a single kesem?
A single kesem that makes her need though, in the first place.
You mean not in the middle of Shivanakia?
Yeah.
So then that would be a Riya, yeah. But here we're talking about, you just have a dot on the Bedikah cloth. So that's... That's not a Re'iyah. That you can't say is Mayanasa Pasuach. Now, whether you be Mekel on a Bedika Shachris in that case, or if you have an unclean Bedika during Shivanakiyam, so Mochtachu, we say you're not going to be Machmara. We start the clock, and it's considered Yom Rishon. So is it Yom Rishon to the extent that you can't do Bedika Shachris Li'ikuva? The Rabbi Karp doesn't weigh in on that. Rav Avadya thinks that you can be making on that too. Page Resh Pei Ches. Rabbi Forrest is Machmir. So there it sounds like, as far as, because that's what it sounds like from the Shach, that at least Le'inyan B'dika Shachris, that's considered Yom Riyasa. But from Moch Dach, there's more grounds to be making about.
At what point is it no longer Li'ikuva?
At what point?
For Rabbi Forrest, at what point may she do new Hefzik Tara?
No, the point was, is a Hefzik Shachris Ma'akiv, right? There are two elements of Yom Hari'iyah, of a Hefzik B'Yom Hari'iyah, right? Or B'Yom Risha. The one is Moch Dach Mikra Adin, and the other one, B'Dika Shachris B'Ma'akiv. So Rabbi Forrest is saying you could split. That even if you're mekel not to require Moch Dach, but you still bedika shachris would be possible even likuva.
What, we're talking about a normal case?
No, we're talking about in the middle of Shivanakiyam. There's a woman is in the middle of Shivanakiyam, and she sees something on a bedika cloth. So you have to start the clock again, right?
So in a normal case, he's not mekel by Hefzik Tara for shachris.
In a normal no, we're talking about a Yom Rishon L'Riyasa case. Because if you have a problematic bedika during Shivanakiyam, that's equivalent of Yom Rishon L'Riyasa.
Right.
Elowah, because it's not really Mayanasa Pasuach, will be mekel not to require a Moch Dach
Likuva. Okay. So.
But you may, bedika Shachris may still not work because right. That's the other element of Yom Rishon L'Riyasa.
So what's his Samach L'Banish Mashos or Minchomala?
Or even a Minchomala.
Right. Meaning.
Minimum Chomala would work, but not.
Meaning right. Mincha Katana?
Yeah. Okay. Now, how long do you have to keep the Moch Dach in? So, Rav Moshe, in the tshuva we quoted last time, Chelet Dalet, I think it's 7 Ayin Tes. So, Rav Moshe in his tshuva about Zmane Hayom, we assume that in New York, 50 minutes after Shki is definitely Tzeis according to Rabbeinu Tam. So he says, L'chachila, you should keep it in for 50 minutes after Shkia. That's a long time. Rabbi Eider has, the Rav Moshe wrote to him, that if it's uncomfortable, so then you could be Mako to take it out after 15 minutes. And Rabbi Morkins, of course, from Rabbi Yashav, and Eretz Yisrael, where things move faster, he thought you should be machmir 30 minutes after Shkia, even for those who are machmir for later Tzeis HaShabbos time. and not more than 30 minutes. But 30 minutes in Eretz Yisrael is probably like 50 minutes in New York. Okay. So let's talk a little bit about Levanim. What time is the last mincha?
4:15.
What time is it now?
Actually, I mean, there's a Hechi Kedusha one at 4:20, I think. Is that not after Shkia?
No, she has 4:32 or so.
Oh, fine. So.
You want to have a 4:15? No, fine. So we can stop here. We'll talk. I'm not going to. I need more than 5 minutes to talk about Levanim. So we'll stop here. Okay. And next time we'll talk about Levanim and begin talking about Shimon Akim.
Okay.
I think I owe you new Marma Kamas, so I'll send it out now.
Okay.
Okay. Sure. Has anyone seen Benji? I haven't. In a few days.
I just texted. A man texted him to say that we were.
Yeah, I did
here,
also.
Maybe he's away.
Maybe.
Don't know. He hasn't.